T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Nobody better to talk about it than the gentleman who joins us right now here on Baskin and Phelps on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's a longtime NBA writer, was with the Washington Post, and is with the Post now in a couple of capacities, but covered the Wizards for 11 years for the Post. He's worked for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Yahoo, The Athletic. He's one of my favorites. He's Michael Lee. Michael, Jeff Phelps here, Dan Menigan with me today. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ricky Rubio, first of all, your thoughts, a guy who played some of his best basketball of his career last year with the Cavaliers before he got hurt. That's a piece the Cavs were looking to add, a veteran point guard. Your thoughts on him coming back to Cleveland?
Yeah, I think it's a great signing. I mean, if he comes back healthy, I mean, the injury was just crushing, you know, last season, because he was having such a great year, like you said. But I think it just says a lot about just the kind of culture that the Cavs are establishing, and just that, you know, a guy who probably could have gone just about anywhere chose to stay with that organization. It shows you that he has confidence in the direction they're headed and the talent they have on that roster. So I just view it as an encouraging sign for the organization that, you know, that he wanted to stick around and kind of see it all the way through. I mean, they didn't get a chance. They made the play-in. They didn't get a chance to actually get to the playoffs. But I think that everybody who saw them last year knows there's tremendous upside with this squad. And as long as, you know, he can be there to help, you know, guide along Garland and Mobley and a lot of the young guys they have on that roster, it's an encouraging time.
Michael, if you're the Cavaliers, what are you doing with Colin Sexton? Are you trying to make an offer to him, or are you just sitting back and waiting to see if somebody will make the massive move?
Yeah, you're sitting wait. I mean, that's the thing about restricted free agency. There's no incentive to just – unless there's a guy that you completely love and you know that he's a, you know, super-duper all-star caliber talent – you know, you don't have to just pay guys just because you got to let the market set itself. And, you know, Colin, you know, is coming off a major injury, and he's got to basically, you know, let the market, you know, determine just what his value is, and then decide from there, you know, if it's too rich, you know, maybe they can work on, you know, signing trades or anything in that regard. But I think for the most part, you just tell him to go find what he can get.
Michael Lee joining us from the Washington Post. If you look at the Cavs backcourt right now and the wing spots, Michael, you just drafted Obagi, you have Darius Garland, you have Caris LeVert, you have Isaac Okoro, you have Colin Sexton as the restricted free agent. Do you like that group, or would you sort through that group and try and tweak it a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, you made that big move for LeVert at the deadline, and, you know, it didn't really turn out the way you hoped, but you also know that it takes time for chemistry to develop and for guys to understand each other and sort of move forward like that. But I think you just kind of be patient with this group and see how they grow together. It's not like you have to win now or there's some urgency to, like, become a contender. I mean, I think you do this the right way. You build, you grow, and then when you get and you feel like you're at that edge where you're, you know, about to really make a leap as an organization, then you strike. I don't think there's any need to go beyond what you have in terms of just developing and seeing how these guys grow together and seeing which players emerge as the ones that are untouchable that you have to build with.
Michael, I love that thought. In today's NBA, how feasible is that for certain teams? I think it's feasible for a team like the Cavs in a market like Cleveland. I think it's even feasible for a team like Washington, you know, where okay, you're bringing back Bradley Beal on a max contract and you're adding pieces to him. But it's a weird league because I don't know if that plan is feasible in some of the big markets where they want to win right now. And that's kind of why I like it for our team, because you can do this, and I won't even say under the radar, but I love your thought. When you're ready, then you strike and you make your move. How far away might that be for the Cavs?
I think a lot of it depends on Mobley's growth. You know, he's a guy who, going into the draft, that I was probably the most excited about because I just felt like he could have a huge impact right away. And I'm really excited to see, just even though it was just a playing experience, just being in that kind of environment, just what it's going to do to help him elevate his game. And I think if he can make a leap next year, and then you start to say, oh, you know, we really got something special here, then you can start, you know, figuring out what else you need to do to build around him. You know, Garland, it took a while for him to figure it out and play at an all-star level, but you know he's going to keep working and getting better. And so when you have two guys like that that you can sort of build around, you know, that's a cause for excitement for me. But I think that a lot is going to depend on just whether Mobley can make a significant leap and become one of the best, you know, forwards in the game. We already know he can block shots and rebound and do everything else that you want. He already does a little things. His offensive game has come along, you know, came along pretty well. And so I just think, you know, you keep adding solid veterans around him. You have Rubio, you know, guys who've been playing a long time to kind of help guide him along. And that's really what you do when you have a team like this. And honestly, I'm more encouraged by the direction of the Cavs than I am the Wizards. You made the comparison, but I just feel like you can be more patient when you have guys still in the rookie deals. It starts getting a little tougher when you're in a situation where you got to start paying people. And I think that as long as you have Mobley on a pretty decent, you know, rookie deal, you can be a little more patient. But once you start writing those big checks, you got to throw that out the window and start and trying to compete for something.
So, Michael, you would not rush out and hand Darius Garland the rookie max?
I would take care of him. I mean, he's an all-star. I mean, that's the type of guy that you gotta make sure you secure. Sexton's different, you know, because he hasn't reached all-star status. You know, he hasn't led you to the play or the playing game or anything of that caliber. Garland's a guy that I think is part of your foundation. Sexton is somebody that you would like to keep at a nice price. But if he gets to be too expensive, I think you can be comfortable with letting him, you know, make the most of his opportunities. Because, again, you've already proven what you can do without him.
Michael Lee joining us, Sports Enterprise reporter for The Washington Post, 19 years covering the NBA. Kevin Durant goes to Brooklyn. Big deal, right? Everything, he goes there. Kyrie's there. They get Ben Simmons. If the Harden thing didn't work. Now Durant wants out. Harden's in Philadelphia. Who knows what happens with Kyrie? Man, is it just me, or is that one of the strangest situations we've seen in the last couple of years in the NBA, Michael? Because and the Nets seem very willing to trade Durant and move on in a different direction here.
It's to me, it says everything that Josiah, a billionaire who is not short on any kind of money, who's making all kind of money in China. Like, he's a very wealthy man. He said, I would rather trade one of the 15 best players in NBA history than pay Kyrie Irving. Oh. That's what this is all about. Like, that to me, like, if the Nets are looking at one of the building block, you know, franchise players, a guy who could elevate just about every organization in the league. Mm-hmm. We have one of those pieces that everybody in the league wants, and we're going to make sure we give him a trade because we just don't want to deal with this other guy anymore. It's been a disaster, you know. These last 3 years, I mean, obviously Durant missed the first year with his injury. He played well last year. I think that if they had all been healthy, they probably could have won a championship. And it just shows you just how, you know, the margin for error for all of this stuff. If Harden is healthy and Kyrie Irving's healthy, they probably win the title last year, but this year they didn't. And then you have a vaccine mandate that Kyrie just decided to say, I don't care about my teammates. I don't care about trying to win a championship. I just want to do what I want to do. I'm not going to get the mandate. I'm not going to adhere to the mandate. I'm not going to get the vaccine. I don't care about what anybody or you guys are trying to do to win a championship. I'm just standing up for my own principles. I don't really care about anything else. And you saw what happened. The whole season fell apart. They had to trade James Harden because he just didn't want to be around a guy who wasn't fully committed to getting it done, to doing what was necessary to win a championship. Then you watch a team like Golden State win a championship. And yes, Steph Curry was phenomenal. The second best player on the Warriors was Andrew Wiggins, a guy who did not want to get the vaccine, who was openly public, vehement about, I do not want to do this. But he also wanted to win a ring. He made a sacrifice for his teammates to win a championship because he knew what the stakes were for himself and for the team. And now we look at Andrew Wiggins in a totally different light than we did at the beginning of the last year. Now we see him as a champion. All Kyrie had to do was make one little sacrifice for his teammates, and maybe he's in that same situation. He refused to do it, and it blew up an entire team, entire championship favorite. They were a championship favorite until the playoffs. People thought they could still find a way to win, even though they didn't have a healthy Ben Simmons. And they were the only team that didn't win a playoff game. But this is the thing that's even more upsetting if you're a Nets fan. The Celtics lost 10 playoff games. Every team they played after them got at least three victories off of them. They couldn't get one. And now you want to get a max deal extension because of that? I mean, the lack of self-awareness from Kyrie is just probably the most baffling thing. And I just think that when you look at just what he's done and the way he sort of flaunted the fact that, you know, I'm the one that brought me and KD here. You know, I'm the guy that needs to be rewarded because I got KD. He wouldn't have KD without me. That just rubbed everybody in that organization wrong. And I just think it got to the point where, you know, Kevin's looking around like, I'm going to be 34 years old. I don't have that many more seasons to just throw away. And if everybody here is not committed, everybody's not trying to go out there and do what's necessary to win the championship, I can't just continue to latch myself to this organization or to this guy anymore. I got to go.
Wow.
Wow. So how do you think this ends, Michael?
Well, I mean, it depends on how hard Brooklyn is in terms of what they want in return for KD. I mean, they can easily demand whatever they want. It's just, are they going to get it? Is the team going to be willing to give it to them? The fact that they have them signed for the next 4 years gives them some leverage in terms of maybe trying to convince Kevin to stay, because he's in a very emotional state right now. It's just a couple of weeks since he saw his former team win a championship. And, you know, he's looking around as like, what do we have here that's really going to encourage me to stay? But if you sort of play the long game and just wait for the right deal, maybe you'll get what you want, but maybe you also can get KD to cool off. And so I think that's sort of where they have to stand. Don't rush to just make a deal to make a deal. Make the deal that's right for your organization. Don't worry about how it affects free agency or any other franchise, because it doesn't matter right now. You sacrificed a lot to make this work. You gave up a ton of picks and prospects. You gave up Jared Allen, who's an all-star now.
Thank you.
To appease, you know, these guys. And Houston Rockets are sitting back like, oh, please, just buy them out, please. Just be sorry for the next 4 or 5 years. We want to be in the finals like the Boston Celtics did when y'all gave up everything, you know, to get, you know, Garnett and Pierce. You know, we'd love for this thing to fall apart. I just think they got to do what's right and make the right move for the organization. And if that means that guys are going to be angry and upset because it's taking too long, then so be it. They got a right to be upset at the guys they invested the last 3 years in for not delivering.
Michael Lee joining us from the Washington Post, Sports Enterprise reporter. So what happens with Kyrie?
Oh, man. I'd be surprised if he plays another game for the Nets. I think that they want to just get away from him. They want to get out of the Kyrie business. And if that means find a trade partner, so be it. If that means just saying, we'll just count our losses. You know, we're willing to pay you half your salary to not play last year. We'll give you the full salary to not play for us this year. I just think they want to be done with that. You know, he did a lot to burn that whole thing down. And if I'm an organization, you know, I just look back at his track record. You know, he bailed on the championship, you know, caliber team in Cleveland, and he goes to Boston. And this is the thing that obsessed me about Kyrie and why it's frustrating with him. He was in Boston for 2 years. In those 2 years, the first year that he was there, the Celtics went to the conference finals, went to game 7 of the conference finals with one shot to go to the NBA championship while he was injured and hurt. The next year, he comes back. They go out in the second round, and he completely flames out in the second round. One of the worst performances you could ever see from, you know, a best player on the team. And then he bails and leaves and goes to Brooklyn. The very next year, the Celtics are right back in the conference finals without him. and then they're in the finals 2 years later. So while as great as Kyrie is, as entertaining as he is, as wonderful a player as he is, how does he impact winning? And that's really what you have to ask yourself. I think that's what the Nets sort of determined too. You know, yeah, you won a championship in 2016. You hit a fantastic shot. You had the last three games of that series. You were phenomenal. No doubt about that. But what have you done outside of that? And I think that's really where the Nets are. It's like, you know, man, it's just, it was nice when we signed you. We were very excited. We thought that this could turn out. But this has just been just nothing but drama from the moment you got here. We fired a great coach in Kenny Atkinson, who's now won a championship with the Golden State Warriors. We traded away Caris LeVert and Jared Allen. One guy's an all-star, and one guy's one of the top young guards, coming up guards in the league. We gave away all of this and all of these picks just to appease you. We signed DeAndre Jordan to make you happy, to bring him in. He's on his third or fourth team since we got him. And it's just all these things that we've done to acquiesce and appease you and give you exactly what you wanted. And now that we just ask for you to treat us with some decency and respect by saying we can't just give you a max deal because these last 3 years have been a mess, then you want to pout and throw a fit and then talk about, make these fake philosophical quotes, to make it sound like you're doing something deep for taking a $37 million option. I think if I'm the Nets, I'm just fed up. I just want to move on.
Michael, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Love your thoughts and can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, dude. This was
spectacular. Thanks for having me on.
Michael Lee, Washington Post. He's covered the NBA for 19 years. He's their senior enterprise reporter. Michael's also a great guy to follow on Twitter, and you can do that at Mr. Michael Lee. One of the great treats that I've had working here for 11 years is working with Jeff. Known him for decades. To work with him has been a lot of fun.
He's the best.
He's the man.
He's the best.
He's the man. Kind of the way the Live guys are thinking about the European tour. I love working with those guys forever. I'd like to keep going. Oh, but I'm going to take your money, Live Tour, and now I might sue you. That's where this is right now. And here's where this is. The Live Tour has its event going on in Portland, right? It's going.
Yes.
You're rolling your eyes. I had to double check. It's going on in Portland right now. I have no idea what's going on in it. Haven't paid any attention. That said, I don't know who's winning the John Deere Classic either. I'll just go ahead and say that. But that's the deal there. The 16 guys from Europe who are out on the Live Tour apparently went together and wrote a letter to the European Tour, now called the DP Tour or whatever it's called, and said, gosh, we know you've just partnered up with the PGA Tour on a 13-year agreement, but we'd really like you to just go ahead and let us play in your tournaments. And if not, well, we just might sue you. That's basically what's happened here. And the Live Golf guys, and it's okay. They want the best of both worlds. They knew what the repercussions would be. They went ahead and did it anyway. But the CEO of the DP World Tour, that's what used to be the European Tour, his name is Keith Pelley, actually sent out a response just today about it, within the last hour or so. And they're playing the Irish Open this week, and then next week they have the Scottish Open, which is what all of these guys want to play in. Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, a bunch of the other guys. And it's co-sanctioned by the PGA. Mm-hmm. So there's an issue right there, right?
Yeah.
Keith, the commissioner of the DP World Tour, in summation, quickly I'll read a short part of it. Before joining Live Golf, players knew there would be consequences if they chose money over competition. Oop, there's point number one. Many of them at the time understood and accepted that. Indeed, as one player named in the letter said in a media interview earlier this year, if they ban me, they ban me. It is not credible that some are now surprised with the actions that we have taken.
No.
He said the letter claims that these players care deeply for the DP World Tour. Oh, then he takes another shot. An analysis of the past participation statistics on our tour in recent years of several of the leading players named suggests otherwise.
No.
So in other words, what he's basically saying is, yeah, you've said you really like our tour and you care deeply, but you're not showing up anyway. And now that you don't have the option of the PGA Tour, you want to come here? That's what he's saying. Furthermore, and I love it anytime anybody uses the word furthermore.
Do enjoy a furthermore.
Given how deeply these players say they care about the DP World Tour, perhaps some of them could have played in Ireland this week in support of our new title sponsor, in particular, one player who gave us a signed commitment to play in the Irish Open. He said, with that player currently in action at Pumpkin Ridge in Oregon in LIV Golf, you can imagine the allegation in the letter that we are in the wrong is hard to accept.
This is just unbelievable. I mean, this is the whole thing, though. We knew how this was going to go. These guys knew the consequences that were going to take place when they signed up for the LIV Tour. They knew. This was not hidden in any way, shape, or form. The PGA Tour came out and told them, hey, you sign up for this, you're out. You're done. You're gone. And it did it anyway. And why did they do it?
We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a load of money.
And now they are sitting there,
yeah,
diving into their Scrooge McDuck pools of money and getting all grumpy because they can't play in the tours that they used to play. But you knew from the beginning you weren't going to be able to do this. There wasn't, these guys weren't going to be like, hey, well done on going and getting your Brinks truck full of money. Well done. In fact, we're jealous. You know what? Come make money with us too. You can make money with the Saudis who are trying to undercut us, and you can come make money with us too. That'll still be swell. Everyone makes money and everything's grand. No, that's not how this works. That's not how it's ever worked in any kind of business.
I do find it interesting that the PGA Tour has made some adjustments. You know, and they're now with this agreement, right, with the European Tour, they've basically, and I forget the number, but it's like the top 15 money winners on the European Tour or something get PGA Tour cards, which some of the LIV Golf guys have said, well, now you've just set yourself up as a minor league.
Yeah, and you've expanded Q School on top of that, too, to get more guys in. And you also put in, I think it's a couple tournaments on the tail end that are automatic qualifiers and automatic money. So it's kind, yeah, of like the LIV Tour.
They've made a more exclusive end of the season type of thing, right, with more money, and they've boosted some sponsorships.
Yeah, with it being guaranteed on top of that.
Perhaps the LIV Golf stuff has actually forced, yes, the PGA Tour to do some things, and maybe that's the point, period, except the LIV Golf guys who are out on that tour now are just out of luck, you know?
Yeah. And look, And by out of luck, I mean, you took $100 million. Like, I would like to be $100 million out of luck if humanly possible. Like, you took the money. You knew this was coming. You are very well off. You probably don't need to worry about money for a good chunk of your lifetime and probably your children's lifetime as well. You just have to stick with the consequences of, you know, hey, you can't play in this tour again. Like, you're out. You're in an indefinite suspension until the Saudi money runs out, which it never will, or the Saudis get bored and try to go to the next sports washing thing to make them look better. I mean, that's where this is. They did this to themselves. No sympathy. I have no sympathy whatsoever.
Well, they had clear choices to make, and they made them. And that's okay, because you're allowed to make choices, but it's tough to sit here and try to argue that you deserve and should have the best of both worlds on this. Bill's in Parma. Bill.
What's happening, Bill?
Hey, you guys. Enjoy the program this morning.
Thank you, man. Trying.
All right, you guys. We got to go back. I even say to this myself. We got to go back to the first grade. What's the most important thing here? Money.
Yep.
Will the PGA possibly lose money by not having Phil Johnson, you know, whoever else there? Possibly. Does the PGA like to lose eyeballs watching the tournaments? No. So something's going to happen in which the PGA backs off this. You know that, and I know it, and I'm not a Greg Norman fan. Please, no way. But this is all about money, and it'll be settled by some way, the PGA backing down a bit.
So the funny part of this, Bill, is you bring that up with eyeballs and people not paying attention. I don't know how big of a golf fan you are.
Pretty good.
Okay. Have you looked at the field for the Giant Deer Classic this week going up against the LIV Tour at Pumpkin Ridge?
I haven't. As a matter of fact, I haven't.
No.
The John Deere Classic is in Illinois.
Yes.
That's about it.
And by the way, and I'm not saying that to, like, call you out or anything like that.
No, please.
Like, the names that are playing in this right now are Cameron Champ and Daniel Berger. Jason Day was supposed to be in this tournament. He withdrew with a back injury. That's it. There's no McIlroy. There's no Rahm. There's no Thomas. There's no Spieth. There's no Ricky. There's no any big name in golf that you could point to. There's no Cam Smith. None of these guys are at the John Deere this week. If there was ever a week for the LIV to capitalize, it's this week.
Well, and I like free enterprise like everybody else does, and I do like competition. And the PGA does have this air about it that I've never liked. But nonetheless, it's going to come down to how many eyeballs are going to watch it. And the PGA is sounding real tough right now. But bottom line, they would like to have Phil there. They would like to have Johnson there. They would like to have about three or four other guys always there. And you know what? They will win. The players will win, as we always see in all the other sports.
Bill, you're correct. Thank you, Bill. I mean, have a good weekend, buddy.
At some level, I wish I was.
I don't know.
You're correct.
But that's the thing. I don't know if you are. So, like, and I understand exactly what you're saying, where it's like, I want the big names there. I want to see Patrick Reed, and I want to see Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka and Dustin and all that kind of stuff. But with how deep the field is now of golfers, and the fact that in any given week, I mean, we're going into the Open Championship, right? There's probably about 10 guys right now that we could honestly walk out and go, these guys can win a golf tournament.
Yeah.
And you know what's sad is when I really, in the 60s and 70s, when I really started liking golf, I mean, you had a wide variety of people like Trevino and Nicklaus and on and on and on, that you really could be drawn to watch. And right now, I mean, there's still those players, but nonetheless, once you get below those certain group, it's hard to be a fan of that.
But that group is like 15 deep.
Bill, thank you.
That's the fun part of this. And by the way, our Twitter mention is powered by Scheib & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And you can always tweet the show at CLE Talking Heads, like Charles did here, saying that the John Deere never has a big field.
Correct.
He's right. It doesn't. The John Deere never pulls in a giant field. But you would think if there was ever the week.
It would be the first week that the LIV is in the United States.
Yes, and they would be going absolutely berserk. And I haven't tuned in. I'm a golf fan. I have not tuned into the YouTube stream to find out how many people have eyeballs on the LIV Tour right now. But
that's the thing about the LIV Tour. First week it was going. First week, we were all somewhat intrigued. We wanted to see it a little bit. From that first day, Dan, when we were sitting here and we both had it up streaming, I haven't watched. I don't care. It's not the tour that I have much interest in because I consider it more of an exhibition tour since there are a limited number of guys. And in my estimation, at least based on track record and history, a very limited number of guys who can win.
All right, so I am attempting to pull up right now to find out how many people are watching the LIV Tour, and I don't think they've teed off yet. So the total views of yesterday, though, and this is off their YouTube page. There may be more on Facebook.
It's earlier than 9 in the morning out in Portland.
Right.
And remember, they don't have to tee off early because there's not a huge field.
Exactly. There may be more off of Facebook. There may be more off of the LIV website as well. But the total views of yesterday, according to YouTube right here, was 495,000.
Not enough.
That's not enough.
But their goal is not to make money.
No.
And that's the catch with this.
It really is.
Their goal is not to make money.
Or if they wanted to, they'd have a cable deal.
Yep.
They don't have one, and it doesn't seem like they're hurrying up to get one.
No, that's absolutely true. We'll see. We're just starting to get the early parts of this stuff, and so more is going to happen. And I'm really curious to see where this is going to go because I think it's going to change that sport forever in some way, shape, or form. Whether LIV survives or not, the PGA Tour will forever be changed. In some ways and some shapes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.